Your Honour, my client, Liron Woodcock Velleman, has pled guilty to being a paedophile. Specifically, he has admitted that in December 2024, he sent nude photographs of himself to a 13-year-old English girl, asked her if she was a virgin, asked her if she was home alone, and asked her to show him her bra. In sentencing, I would ask that your worship take into account that my client has a long history of suffering from depression, and also that my client is a very senior member of the anti-racism group Hope Not Hate. My client does not discriminate on the basis of race, your worship. My client will nonce children of any ethnicity. He will nonce black children. He will nonce white children. He will nonce East Asian children. He does not discriminate on racial grounds because he is an anti-racist and thus is a man of good moral character. And I would request that be taken into account. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretics. How interesting things are happening in the world of the anti-British group Hope Not Hate. This group has been put under pressure by the Spectator. They've been looking into its various nefarious activities. And now, of course, we have an interview with Nick Lowles with him on Channel 4, with him bemoaning the fact that he has lost power because he has forced dissidents to set up alternative ecosystems in which they can survive. And now we have, as it was revealed on the 4th of January, a leading member of Hope Not Hate has pled guilty to being a paedophile. And in this video, I would like to look at why this is the case. Why did his solicitor plead depression and so forth? But before I do that, I would like you to do me a favour. Could you please subscribe? Could you subscribe here on YouTube? Could you subscribe on my Substack, that's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most based stuff that I can't put on YouTube, in-person interviews, vlogs, blogs, and where you like what I do, you can support with the cost of a pint of beer a month. And also, please think about joining my Telegram group, because I get so many messages, and I've set up a separate Telegram group to correspond with all you fascinating heretics. Okay, back to the video. Right, so what do we have with this guy? From what we know, this man, original name Liron Velleman, is a father of one, and until April last year, when these things came to light and he was forced to stand down, he was a Labour councillor in Barnet. He was also a leading member of the Jewish Labour movement, and has written about how he was subjected to anti-Semitism and things like this as a child, and all of this sort of thing. And most significantly, as far as I'm concerned, he was involved in the morality police that is Hope Not Hate, and not just involved, but was listed as one of the key contributors to Hope Not Hate. Now, Hope Not Hate ran an article in 2024 called "The Far Right and the Riots: Paedophiles, Animal Abusers, and Former Britain First Members." And now it seems, unfortunately for them, the tables are turned, and one of their leading... They were right, Hope Not Hate. They were right all along. They said, it's not just Muslims that sexually abuse underage English girls. And that's true. It's not. It's also very senior members of Hope Not Hate. This doesn't surprise me at all, because, of course, these are ghastly anti-freedom people. These people are mentally unstable. These people deal with their low self-esteem and so forth by creating a narcissistic false self in which they're morally perfect, and then gain narcissistic supply from other insecure people by persecuting those that disagree with the morality that gives them a sense of being important and gives them a sense of being superior, and so forth. These are extremely nasty people. And we know that being on the far left is associated with Machiavellian, that is being power hungry, and narcissism, that is an inflated sense of self, entitlement, the idea that you're brilliant and fantastic and so forth, ultimately underpinned by insecurity. But what was pled by the solicitor, by the defending solicitor, one Ali Hussein, was that he had depression. And he also said, and he this is not the details has not been reported, that the court understand the background as to why this has happened and why this married father of one has done this. So I want to look at the causes of paedophilia as they may relate to this man, and as they maybe make sense of what has happened. How can he end up doing this? How can he end up doing something so risky and so appalling as trying to nonce a 13-year-old girl? Well, 67% of those who have been abused, sexually abused as children, suffer from depression. And so, which makes sense, because something awful has happened to them. They have post-traumatic stress, and this leads to them having depression. 75% of paedophiles, according to the Criminal Research Council, have been sexually abused themselves as children. So the way to, in a sense, the way to create a paedophile, or at least most paedophiles, is to sexually abuse a child. I don't know whether this happened to this fellow Liron, but it, statistically, it's likely that it may well have done. There is a strong association, therefore, between child sexual abuse and offending, or rather, a strong association between being a paedophile and having suffered from childhood sexual abuse. Now, how does this work? Well, there's a number of ways. One is that during the abuse itself, the child is, and it's not blame the children for this, this is just a natural, unfortunate thing that happens. During the sexual abuse itself, the child is involuntarily, physiologically aroused. And therefore, he comes to associate sexual arousal with the abuse. Now, once that happens, and let's assume he's suffering from post-traumatic stress and so forth, then one of the ways in which people calm themselves down psychologically if they have been abused is by reenacting the abuse. If they reenact the abuse, they take control of it. They're in control of it. And so they are sexually aroused by the abuse, and they feel a deep and highly satisfying sense of control by reenacting the abuse. One of the ways, of course, that they can do that is by subjecting somebody else to that abuse. So then, in a sense, they're kind of reenacting what happened to them, but they're in control of it. Moreover, among men, there is a degree to which power and dominance are sexually arousing. In prehistory, the men that passed on their genes would have been the men that were more able to basically find women, even if those women were unwilling, and dominate them, force them to have sex. So it would make sense that there would be a relationship among men between dominance and power and being sexually aroused, because the men that were more able to be sexually aroused in a position of dominance and power would be more able to pass on their genes. And in this regard, it has been found that, in a study called a book called Natural History of Rape, you'll find the study there, that men become more sexually aroused by sadomasochistic porn than they do by normal porn, and they have larger erections as a consequence of it, and they ejaculate further. So that's, therefore, you can see why people that have been subject to this and are traumatised by it and are partially sexually aroused by it will then do it to other people. They get control, they get, in two senses of the word, they get this to reenact what has happened to them. Also, the fact of being traumatised can disrupt developmental pathways, leading and just disrupt the development of the brain, such that you are elevated in depression, and also that your impulse control is minimised. And I suspect that's a big part of what's going on. That this has happened to a person, their impulse control is lowered. They understand they shouldn't do things like this, but their impulse control is lowered. Also, there is a degree to which depression itself, if you have depression, it can lead to temper, it can lead to all kinds of things. It lowers impulse control. So this is why he. I think, put in mitigation that this person had depression. There was also a book some years ago that was very controversial called A Long Dark Shadow, which argued that if you are traumatised, or if certain people are traumatised at a developmental age, i.e. as a young child, teenager, then they can become stuck at that age in terms of personality to some extent, but also in terms of their sexual development. So let's say a person, something very, very awful happens to a person when they're 12. Let's say they're sexually abused. At 11, they'll fancy 11-year-olds. At 12, they'll fancy 12-year-olds. At 13, they'll fancy also 12-year-olds. At 14, 12-year-olds. At 15, 12-year-olds. At 16, 12-year-olds. And so forth. Because they are stuck at that phase. It should be emphasised that what we have seen with this guy in terms of paedophilia is quite rare. The vast majority, I think it's like homosexual paedophiles are a much more prominent thing. And with heterosexual paedophiles, it's more often psychopathic traits that predicts it, just having a high sex drive, just having access to children, as opposed to any particular trauma. But the fact that he brought up, that the solicitor brought up depression, shows you that this may well be what is going on behind the scenes. We don't know. But the fact that this is the person that's part of the morality police, this is the person that's morally superior to the rest of us, this is the person that tells all of the rest of us that we're terribly immoral and that we're racist and that we're transphobic and that we're homophobic and we're just awful people. And we should feel ashamed. And this is the chap that tries to get, the organisation that tries to get people sacked, that sends in covert surveillance on people that disagree with their opinions and tries to ruin their lives. And I think the fact that a very senior member of their group has been shown to be a paedophile, has been shown to manipulate and treat a 13-year-old girl like that, surely is symbolic. Surely is part, I hope, of the beginning of the end for these thoroughly wicked people. I hope it's a bit of interest, and I will see you soon, and goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?